Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to our Game 4 World Series recap on Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SD, yada yada, you know how that part goes. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro. With me is Greg Karam. Greg, there are losses that annoy you, there are losses that stick with you, and then there's Game 7 of the 2006 NLCS, and then there's this one.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's in the category with the last one I mentioned.
Yeah, it's just a notch below, because they're still alive. But goodness, I mean, if there was a game where every decision that could have been second-guessed beforehand got
that's called just first backfired. Guessing.
Yeah, first guessing. Just backfired, like, that was the game. Because, I mean, my takeaway is, you know, Terry made a couple of bad decisions, and they all backfired. And they were all foreseeable, you know, such as, I mean, we'll get into it, but that's just my take.
Yeah, where do you want to start?
I mean, probably you want to start with the decision to take out or to not take out Mats after the or not pinch hit for Mats in the top of the sixth, I guess.
Bottom of the fifth, yeah.
Bottom of the fifth, yeah, that's right. Because realistically, I mean, really, what are you going to get out of it? You're getting one more inning out of him, okay?
Maybe.
And it looked like he right, best case scenario. And it looked like he was tiring in the fifth. You're lucky you got out of that one. And so you bring him back. And, you know, it didn't work out, which was, you know, entirely predictable. I mean, this is a guy, you know, like you were saying on Twitter, a guy has not been stretched out since, like, August. You know, so 80 pitches is, you know, maybe his limit right now.
Yeah, I mean, I meant to look this up, but it got swallowed up by pure misery at some point before we started the show, but I guess I'll look it up now.
What are you looking up?
Mats's game logs from this year.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he pitched after the All-Star break. He threw 28 innings.
Yeah.
Essentially. Well, technically, that's not right. 22 innings after the All-Star break. The entire second half of the season. I mean, I know there was a couple rehab starts in there, some game in instructs, you know, get him ready for the playoffs. But he basically didn't pitch in all of July or August.
Right.
He had never been in a real rhythm, so you don't know how stretched out he is. I mean, you got your he was laboring in the fifth. He was missing arm side. When he was coming in, the fastball was flattened up, and the Royals were putting good wood on it. I mean, he looked great early, but it kind of went much like NLCS Game 4 did. And
yep.
You know, they didn't learn their lesson, essentially. They let him start the sixth and against two righties.
Yeah, that was the other thing, is that you got, you know, Zobrisson there, who's a switch hitter, and then you got Kane. So it really, really would have made more sense to kind of mix-match that inning with Colon and Nice. But that didn't work out, as we know.
Yeah, and it's just little things. You know, just gets them one run closer. Makes it the margins a little bit tighter as we get on later in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first issue. And then, you know, if you're not going to do that, you know, then you got the eighth inning. And
I mean, the Mets got into the eighth inning with a lead.
Yeah, which, you know, that's good. But look, we've been talking about it for a while now that Tyler Clippard is terrifying all of us. And you know, high changeups, whatever it might be. You got one of the best closers in baseball there. And yeah, he threw an inning last night. Look, he'll be fine. I mean, he could have been fine. I would have rolled him out there for two innings.
I mean, when he came in, let's be clear. This is not like Armando Benitez. He gave up one hard hit single and got 3 weak ground balls around it.
Right.
Right. You know, if Dustin Herrera is playing second, we're probably out of that inning.
Right. I mean, on the broadcast, they said this is his second blown save. And my wife, who doesn't know, you know, that much about base, looked at me and like, what do you mean he blew it? He didn't blow it. You know, I mean, if a layman like that can, you know, identify that Familia didn't blow that save, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, and if you're going to have Familia up directly behind Clippard, A, he has to be in after the first base runner reaches, or B, why aren't you just starting him in the inning?
Exactly.
And I tweeted it out for a reason. You think you got to lose the game with Familia on the mound, which they ended up doing, but you made it as difficult as possible for him.
Right. Right. It's really, really frustrating to lose on that. I mean, look, it doesn't have to go that way. Nats doesn't have to give up, you know, some base runners. Murphy can field that ground ball. Things can go another way. There's players on the field that can still make plays despite the manager's decisions. But it's frustrating because they were foreseeable.
Yeah. You got to put yourself in the best position to win the ball game.
Exactly.
This is a must-win game.
And then, you know, you got your heart ripped out there in the ninth inning with Cespedes being off the bag for some god-awful reason.
They weren't getting anything more awful. I mean, you saw the contact way Davis was giving up.
I know, but, you know, you still were excited because one swing could win the game. Win the game. You know, whenever you're in that kind of position.
He's given up 3 home runs in the last 2 years. There's a reason.
I know, but you know what? You're in that kind of spot. You have hope. And
I mean, it was a terrible read by Cespedes off the bat.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to blame him. It was just, you know, it was a insult to injury way to lose it.
You have an email.
Do we?
Yes.
All right.
It's from Christopher. You can email the podcast at podcast@amazingavenueaudio.com. I haven't been answering a lot of your emails because these games make it difficult and this podcast format makes it difficult to have an email segment, but I'll answer this one. Hi, Jeff and others. If you were Sandy Alderson, how tempted would you be to fire Terry Collins before Saturday's game?
Oh,
yeah. I mean, look, this is exactly what Terry Collins does. We've watched him in the regular season do this for years.
Right. But you know what? Look, this isn't an accident, okay? I mean, this is something that has to have been discussed, you know, beforehand. Not just with the manager and the coaches, but like everyone needs to be involved in the decision. You know, they obviously did not want to go to Familia for 6 outs tonight. You know, I mean, I would imagine if I was a person running an organization that decisions wouldn't be just left up to one man. Okay, you would do scenario analysis before the games. Be like, hey, okay, if we're in this spot, we're up one run in the 8th, what are we going to do? Are we going to bring a Familia for 6 outs? No. Okay, we're going to go to Clippard. You know, that's the way it would work. You know, so it's tough to pin it all on Terry. You know, because like I said, it didn't have to go necessarily that way. You know, with some fielding issues and whatnot. Unless you disagree.
No, I don't really. I will say that Collins said in his post-game presser that using Familia yesterday may have affected how they used him a little bit tonight, which
really is
bizarre on a variety of levels. Because,
well, that's a little screwed up then, because,
and they still brought him in. They still brought him in to get 5 outs. It's not like the one out made a difference.
Right? Exactly. So that's a little that rings a little hollow for me. But if it did affect your decision making, then don't bring him into a 6-run game.
Yeah,
the reason I was okay with it last night was that I was thinking that it wasn't going to affect their decision making tonight because he hadn't pitched a while. And also, you know, the other reasons, you know, he said, you know, face Gordon, get him out, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so game five tomorrow, Matt Harvey against Edison Volquez. The game that's going to happen.
All right, let's put it this way. Yes. But, like, coming down, coming back 2-0, or, you know, down 0-2 or whatever, if you said the Mets won 2 out of 3 at home, you'd have taken it, right? So, like, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, sequencing matters, Greg.
I guess it does. But look, they got Matt Harvey on the mound tomorrow against Edison Volquez. Who knows what kind of, you know, I mean, look, you know, he's been in the Dominican, you know, he's got other things on his mind. Things could happen. They could win. They win, they go back to Kansas City. You play game six with Jacob DeGrom on the mound. And then you go to game seven and anything can happen. So all is not lost. There's still hope here. 3-1 is different than 3-0.
And actuarially speaking, yes, that is true. Emotionally, I don't know about that.
Hey, look. Emotionally, I you know, it's over, right? Come on, I mean, like, how much hope do you really have at this point? Right?
Not a lot, no.
So, you have the opportunity to just leave it on, you know, just leave it all on the table right now. I mean, it's already over. I guess we're playing with house money at this point. I mean, I'm obviously devastated, but it's not over. It's not over till it's over. It ain't over till it's over. You gotta believe. Come on, Jeff. look. I was thinking about this today before they lost. Saying, look, if there was any team in baseball that had three pitchers that you want to throw back to back to back, is there another team out there that has a better 1-2-3 punch right now that you would want to go with?
No, but I would be a little, well, slightly more confident, not that much more confident, or that confident in general, if they had, you know, scored more than 3 runs off Chris Young, Danny Duffy, and Luke Hochever tonight.
Fair. It's fair. But look, they have three stud pitchers going. If there's any team that could do it, it's this team, and especially with the way they're lined up. Harvey, DeGrom, and Syndergaard. It can happen. Against what? Volquez, Cueto, and then who would be the third one?
I assume they would still use Ventura for Game 7 on a very short leash.
Ventura. So there you go. It hasn't changed that much. Pitching advantage is still in the Mets.
Yes.
There's been a lot of close games. Look, 2 out of 3 close games, right?
Yeah, it's one way of looking at it.
Or 2 out of 4. Whatever. 2 out of 3 games that they lost. I don't know.
Not either.
It's rough. I'm looking for a silver lining.
Well, the Mets will be playing November baseball, at least, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
We'll be back here to talk about it. I'm ending the show. Another edition of Amazing Avenue Audio.